hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
Boy, you said it. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay here. You are listening to the Patriot Street Fighter Economic Update. I don't know what to say. We could talk for the next 10 minutes about what's transpiring in these elections that have been stolen again. I see all my friends are up in arms, and they can't believe this, and couldn't figure out why I didn't even watch anything on Election Day. I was asked questions about it, phone calls, get on a Zoom with us, and jumped on a Zoom, and it's like, I told you, I don't know anything. I have no idea what's going on. Why? Because for the first time in 30 years, I did not watch anything all day on Election Day, nor did I know who was running in virtually every race except the Pennsylvania Senate race and Carrie Lake out there in Arizona, because it's just such prominent news. So I didn't listen to anything for the 30 years, first time. I didn't care. I don't care. I have no interest. Why? Because they were going to steal it, and they did. Baffles me. All my friends up in their arms. They're so pissed, can't believe it. I'm like, everybody who supposedly read all this intelligence, and they know it's, you know, this plan, whatever. I don't think they bought into it. Anyways, I can tell you this. It is going to obviously affect the economy, going to affect it even more so. We're going to talk about that right now, because this is the economic update. Let's bring in our PhD economist. There we go. Had a little blank out or blackout there. I like, where is that handsome devil? There he is right there. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You know, as always, man, I am, I'm fired up. I'm excited. I get to wake up every day, put my feet on the floor and say, okay, let's go at it, man. And here we are. So all good stuff. I'm not sure if our producer over there has a little bit of a spotty internet connection, if it's me, but like always, brother, Patriot Street Fighter is a run and shoot operation. Whatever happens, I just say, hey, wasn't that awesome? I planned that too, even the blackout. So all for effect. It's dramatic effects we have going
all
on back
for
here.
Dramatic effect. There's a lot of drama out in the world right now. I mean, seriously, as we're talking, I've got news lighting up on my screen that Russian missiles hit Poland this afternoon. If that's true or not, I don't know. But that impacts the markets, because the stock market, the bond market, they like consistency of future expectations. They hate turbulence, turmoil, chaos, change, uncertainty, right? And so as we're living out these days, you know, we can go back to last week's election. To me, it was a non-event, right? The Senate hardly changed, the House hardly changed. So if the people, the personnel didn't really change, I mean, you have a few seats here and there that changed, switched up, right? But the numbers are close to the same, right? So if the economy stunk prior to the election, the people didn't really change, it's going to stink after the election, right? And so this is the kind of the world that we're living in. And how does it stink, right? Well, wages are coming down. Inflation is going up, although yesterday, or no. Sorry, it was this morning. This morning, the news came out that wholesale prices were up 0.2%, and mainstream media was like, you know, cheering that, oh, it wasn't as much as it was expected. The war on inflation is being won. It's like, wait a second. We've got inflation that's as high as it's been in 40 years, and it still went up, right? It's not like it came down. It's like it still went up. It's like the equivalent of somebody who really like is just massively obese, right? And it's like they were expecting to only gain 10 pounds this week, but they gained 2. And so that's a celebration. It's still worse, right? You're not losing. The inflation rate isn't coming down. There's a problem, right? So, but they're cheering that inflation on the wholesale price level went up 0.2%. No, you should cheer when it starts to come down. It is still growing. So it means it's worse than it was last month, which was at a 40-year high, right? It's continuing to get worse. So here's the problem that we have. And last week, when we had the rate increases, Jerome Powell basically tipped the hat to what's coming, right? And this is why markets are reeling. And there's human psychology involved in the markets too, right? Because consumer confidence, how we expect the economy is going to look moving forward, dictates what we invest in today, right? So if you think the economy is robust and it's going to grow, and let's say you love Apple stock, Scott. And so it's like, I love their iPhones. I love their computers. I love everything about them. They're managed well. I'm going to invest in Apple because when the economy is strong, they're making great products and they're managed well. My retirement's going to be awesome because I've invested in great things, right? So, but what if you don't think that the economy is going to do well moving forward? Are you going to continue to invest? No, it's like that your survival mechanism kicks in. It's like, I'm just going to pull out. I'm going to sit on the sideline. I'm going to sit in cash. I'm not going to invest because I think if I invest, my money's probably going to diminish and kind of deteriorate and go away, and I'm going to have losses. This is what is happening right now with the market. So Jerome Powell, when he raised rates 0.75% last week, we all knew that that was going to happen. You and I have been talking about this for the last 6 months, whenever they raise rates, right? And they project it and they say it, we're going to raise rates 0.75%. No, nobody thought anything else was going to happen other than that, right? But he said two more things. Second thing, some people thought he was going to say, some people didn't, right? And that was, we're going to continue to raise rates, but at a slower rate of growth. So instead of maybe 0.75 next time, maybe half, maybe a quarter, because what we've been doing isn't actually working, is what he should have said, right? Because they've raised rates 6 months in a row to slow down inflation. Has inflation actually slowed down? No, it's getting worse, right? So what they're doing is not working. And the reason it's not working is because with one hand, they're raising rates to slow down inflation. With the other hand, they're creating inflation by printing money out of thin air, right? So they're creating the problem that they're trying to stop, and they can't do both at the same time because it's going to be net out to zero. So we're getting all of this inflation, and all it's doing is killing the markets. The more they raise rates, it kills the bond market, it kills the stock market, it kills real estate, right? And so they've got to try to slow this down because they realize, oh man, we're actually going to kill the economy if we don't slow down this rate of growth of inflation. So that's why they're making this announcement that they're spinning it in a way that makes people think that they're doing a good job. It's like, inflation is coming down. Look at the wholesale price level. Therefore, we can start to slow down the rate of growth of the rate increases. Garbage. They're slowing down the rate of the growth of the increases because they're absolutely killing the economy, right? But then the third thing that he said actually tells us that they are, know that they're killing the economy. And that's where he said, inflation is the worst thing facing Americans. It's the biggest thing that we have to fight. And therefore, we're going to continue rate increases until inflation dies. Well, because the story I just told about the right hand and the left hand doing different things, inflation's not going away, which means we probably got rate increases going up for quite some time, right? So this is going to impact people's ability to buy because they can't borrow with raising rates. It's going to kill the stock market. It's going to, because stock market is about revenues. It's going to kill the real estate market because real estate market is very sensitive to interest rates because people don't pay cash for houses. Bond market has to be killed. But let's look at the stock market, okay? Because that's what everyone's looking at right now. Holiday season's coming up. This is where most retailers make like 80% of their revenues for the year. So who's the biggest retailer in America? Amazon, right? Their biggest e-commerce provider. What is Jeff Bezos saying and what is Jeff Bezos doing? Okay, so basically Jeff Bezos said yesterday, hey, Americans, I'm expecting a big, deep recession here. You should hold off on buying anything big like TVs and electronics and things like that and just sit in some cash. This is from a guy who makes money selling things, saying don't buy big stuff because there's a big recession coming. What else did he do? There's action behind those words. And those actions were right before the holiday season when they should be busy and hiring more people, they're laying off 11,000 employees at Amazon. Well, Amazon also is the first company in the history of the world to lose $1 trillion in market share. A trillion. They lost $1 trillion like on November 2nd or whatever the day was when they had the big market sell-off. A trillion, right? Okay, so this is not good. What else is not good? FedEx. We talked about, it was maybe 4 to 6 weeks ago, Scott, how FedEx was closing up 90 different corporate offices and they put a freeze on hiring new people. Now, FedEx Freight, the one that moves transports, a lot of stuff around the country, they put a furlough on their employees. Now, we don't know how many employees this is going to affect, but it's probably going to be quite substantial for it to make national news that FedEx Freight, the truckers, their employees are going to be furloughed. Okay, that means what? If they're being furloughed and there's no transport being done, that means there's nobody buying anything. How else can we tell that there's nobody buying anything? Because Stripe, one of the nation's largest merchant processors, right? They're laying off 14% of their workforce. Again, before the holidays, when everybody's going to be spending money on credit cards, right? Oh, well, maybe they're expecting they're not because they're laying off 14% of their workforce. This is all after Ford and Tesla are laying off tens of thousands of people, right? This is ugly moving forward, right? I mean, these are not good things that we as investors want to hear going into a holiday season that freight is shutting down, Amazon's laying off people. It's like, what? What's going on here in this crazy world, right? Well, it's because of policies coming out of this administration of rising taxes, creating inflation, raising the interest rates to slow that down. Now you've got conflict happening in Europe. You've got nasty stuff coming out of China. There's riots and protests because of the COVID policies in China. I mean, it's getting just downright nasty, right? And then we have the election that was basically a nothing burger because nothing really changed. And here again, when things are bad before the election, nothing changes. It's going to be bad after the election. So as you look at that, all I can say is, well, oh, one more thing. I have to add one more thing. So OPEC basically, they basically have seen significant global uncertainties in the coming months. So they lowered their estimate of global oil demand again for the fifth month in a row. Basically, they're lowering production. So right before the election, Biden, you know, got on the phone with OPEC or whoever he talks to over there and said, hey, don't cut your supply before the election. Do it after the election, because if you cut your supply, oil is going to go through the roof. Well, the projections of what oil prices per barrel were going to be if OPEC slashed their production, the amount they said they were going to do would have put oil at $300 a barrel. It's like at 100, right? So it's like, oh my word, this is massive increase in prices. That would have destroyed the American economy. No wonder Biden tried to make a call. Oh, well, too bad, so sad. Oh, the Saudi Arabia made it basically told China last week that it's like, hey, China, you're our biggest trading partner now, not America. You buy more oil from us than anybody on the planet. And you don't have to pay for it in petrodollars. You don't have to pay for it in the US dollars anymore. So that's the biggest nail in the US dollar coffin literally ever. Because prior to 1971, we were on a gold standard. Nixon took us off the gold standard. We moved to a petrodollar standard. Now, the petrodollar standard is going away because country after country after country is leaving, going to the BRICS nations, getting rid of the petrodollar, which is the only reason why we have built-in demand for our currency. So what's left? Completely fiat-based currency. No gold standard, no oil standard. It's a nothing standard. That, I mean, literally, there's nothing backing it up except the full faith and credit of the United States. Well, what happens when people lose faith and credit in the United States, right? There's exactly. Nothing left. Please. Yeah. So here's the problem. Fiat-based currencies, Scott, throughout history, how many of them last? 0%. 100% failure rate on completely fiat-based currencies over time. This is where we are now headed because we no longer have a gold standard. We don't have an oil standard. We have nothing, right? So these aren't good odds. You know, if you were going to Vegas, you'd never actually go if you was 100% chance you were going to lose, right? So this is why there's talks about a financial reset. Everything needs to just be redone. Going to a gold-backed currency, going to a quantum financial system, because we are losing the battle completely because of policies coming out of DC where we left the gold standard, we left the oil standard. Now, well, the oil standard left us, right? It's not like we chose that. We chose to leave the gold standard. Other countries are getting rid of the petrodollar system. So that means we have no demand left for the US dollar. But there's not all negative in this message, because if you allocate properly, brother, you and I talked about this last week. Silver is now up like 25% in the last 7 weeks, up 7% over the last week. Good grief. That's amazing, tremendous growth that could put a smile on anybody's face that has been listening to us for the last year and a half, because things are now moving in the direction that we said. Sometimes things take longer than what we thought, right? But it's going in that direction. Everything that we've talked about is actually happening right underneath our nose. And this traction is starting to happen and occur. And I'm not saying it's going to go straight up forever. You'll have two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, right? But I think with what's happening geopolitically, with the petrodollar standard leaving, with the tensions politically here in America, the election that didn't really happen, everything going on, I don't see any fundamental or technical reasons why gold and silver just shouldn't keep soaring, right? And do what we have talked about it doing for over a year. Good grief, up 25%, up 24 point something percent, right? Over the last 6 to 7 weeks. That's incredible, brother. And we get to take advantage of that trend rather than the trends taking advantage of us.
Well, even so, up 25% nearly in 7 weeks, even at that price, somebody came in with 100K, they make 25 grand in, and they sell it if they wanted to. They actually had made 25 grand in hard cash 7 weeks. So they threw $1 million in, there's 250,000 they made in 7 weeks. And you say, wow, I missed the opportunity. Silver is still so freaking low compared to what it'd be if these ice holes would get out of the way, stop price fixing and controlling it. And let the real value of silver emerge, because again, like you said, it's the US dollar, the full faith and credit of the United States. Well, the US corporations bankrupt and out of business. The people are getting their asses kicked. Their confidence is starting to break. What happens when their confidence breaks? I mean, what else is there to do? I don't know. I mean, I look at everything that's kind of happening right now. I've just been sitting back. As I said, this is the first election in 30 years, First, I didn't follow the election or the candidates. Had the noise behind PA, Oz, Dr. Oz, and that guy that died about, I don't know, 15 years ago, but they have him walking around like Weekend at Bernie's. Fetterman, that's who it is. And Carrie Lake, those are big names, right? I knew of them, but I had no idea what was going on in those elections because I had no interest. There's no solution politically. I was on a Zoom right after that. Polls are closing. They wanted my input. I'm like, it's the first time where I have nothing to say. Can you imagine that? Nothing to say. I don't know what's going on because I didn't follow them because I don't care. I have no interest in the elections. Why? Why would I watch these things when I already knew the outcome? I said, we were in Branson. I was in Branson, what, 2 weekends ago? I said, look, folks, the election's going to happen. I know people say it and it's not going to for this reason or that. It's going to happen. That's my sentiment. And I'm telling you what's going to happen. The outcome is going to be they're going to steal them. They're going to steal the elections again. And what do? They steal them again. You're talking about people not going to Vegas because the chances of losing is 100%. That's not going to mean much to many Americans because the chances of losing in Vegas are already 99.7%. They're like, ah, it's only 0.3%. I'm still going to go. You never know what can happen. That's our thinking. But wait, it's 100%. Yeah, but that's only a few percentage, tenths of a percentage points higher than what it is right now. So maybe still a chance, right? It's kind of like Forrest Gump says, stupid is as stupid does. Well, and unfortunately, look, I'm having conversations with people now, and it just makes me do this. I don't know what to say to this. I mean, I don't even know what to say to it. Just on the phone with my nephew. He's a former soldier, was in Iraq, one of the best kids you ever meet. And we're talking about the people that are dropping dead all around him of young ages, teenagers, our age, a top track athlete that's his age. He's in his mid-30s, runs every day, boom, just out of the blue, dead, dropping all over the place. People still don't get it. There's something wrong with this shot they took. It's like, unfortunately, the only people that are not going to get the sledgehammer that's coming economically, financially, people listening to you, people listen to the economic update and say, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm getting my money out of my retirement plans or whatever. I'm getting them into silver. Or in fact, I'm pretty excited. We're going to talk about this in about 2 weeks. I spent quite some time today with John Michael Chambers talking about the next option that, you know, your whole company and profile has for people that need to take their wealth that they have, they put a bunch in silver or whatever, but we like our monthly income that comes from our investments. Now there's a solution for that. We're going to give you people an option to say, hey, here's for asset preservation. Yeah, it'll blow up in its wealth when it's time, but what about the people that have the monthly revenue stream from other investments? They need to keep a revenue stream. Guess what? That's coming. Kirk's been working on it for some time and putting all the pieces of that puzzle together. That's the next rescue operation that is going to roll out to we the people. Look, here's a way to get out of the system. You want to keep playing Russian roulette with all chambers loaded with ammunition? Or do you want to make sure there's another option too, that you can take anything else you have and boom, put it into an investment project or product, I should say, that's going to allow you to keep developing your monthly revenue stream if you're living off of investments. So, Kirk, when this goes, look, I have people around me that still think that I'm full of shit or crazy or, you know, I mean, he doesn't talk to General Flynn and things like this, right? I was in a private meeting room with General Flynn one-on-one just 10 days ago, just he and I having a conversation about something we need to deal with, right? It's like, there's only so much, and this is coming from my own family. There's only so much you can do for people. It's like at some point, you got to pull your head out of your rectum and clean out your ears so you can hear, maybe even see, look what is coming down the tracks, people. Look what's coming down the tracks. You know, we were hearing recently that there's like 29 days of diesel fuel supply left in the country. And people have been counting on the clock. And now it's down to like 15 or 16. And I don't know if it's true or not, but supply of diesel. I'll tell you what I'm doing. By this weekend, I'm going to be set up to basically stockpile diesel fuel that's going to last me for quite a while because I got a diesel pickup, generator, the bus is diesel, the bus itself, the tractor's diesel. It's like I got 3 vehicles that are run on diesel. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to wait. I'm going to set it up so I am good for diesel fuel for who knows how long. And what if it doesn't happen? I'm set up for diesel fuel for who knows how long, whether it happens or not, right? So it's the kind of thinking people are going to have to start adopting in their world. And if they don't, and they say, don't buy into it, everything's going to come full circle. You know, we are going to be woken up. I tell people, it's like getting in a fight, Kirk, in this battle to save the country. People in Brazil pouring out into the streets by the millions. Belgium, France, Spain, all over the world, people have been coming into the streets for the last 2, 3, 4 years by the millions. United States, we sit here and do nothing. Charlie Ward said, he's traveling the country now. He's been on a tour with us. He said, I can't believe that Americans are not pouring into the street by the millions. I'm like, I know. And I've been saying to people, look, you're going to get into this fight by choice or by force. No way out of it. It's coming up on your doorstep. It's coming up on everybody's doorstep. Same with the economic beating. It's coming to everybody's doorstep. The question is, what are you going to do about it right now? Because tomorrow ain't going to work. Because tomorrow, your tomorrow that you make that decision, may be the tomorrow when the whole thing goes completely south. When Bear Stearns went under, right? How many weeks did it take for everything to be cataclysmically right on the ground? None. Zero. What do you mean? How many days? How many hours? It literally took hours. When that information spread around the world, guess what? That dam has been fractured already. When it busted, look how many people had their entire retirements wiped out. Real estate. I have so many friends back in 2008, real estate industry. The next day after this thing hit full force, they couldn't offload all of their real estate assets for nothing. They lost. I had one guy that was millions in loans in all of his real estate holdings in Las Vegas. And he came to work with me for a little bit. We worked at a company. It's like the first job I've had, like working for somebody else for 6 months in my life since I've been out of college. It was that job. He had to go get that job. And it took him 2 years to work with the banks and keep offloading all that debt. He came out of it, instead of being millions in debt, he came off with only having lost $50,000. I said, you need to write a book on this, dude. Write a book on how you pulled this off. Other people got wiped out for millions and were on the hook. He got it down to 50,000 because he was diligent and he went to work. But that's how it happened there. He said, dude, he says that New York or that Philadelphia accent. He's like, dude, and he says in an accent, you can't believe what happened, how fast this thing happened. It's going to be the same. If that one day you're saying, I better do something, we love you, too late. Nothing can be done now. Folks, I'm telling you, don't wait. Don't wait. Look, I'm taking some money that I have. I don't have a lot of it, but the money that I have, I'd like to do other things with it. I'm like, yep, nope, I'm going to do this because I need to make sure that I don't even, there's other things I'd like to have done already, but I haven't. Just having, you know, supply of diesel fuel. But I'm putting things that in motion on that stuff this week. I'm not waiting. So what if it takes 6 months? Well, I'm good. If it takes, you know, 2 years, it doesn't matter. I'm putting my money in places that make sure I don't get my head taken off again like I have in the past. I mean, I know what it's like to be homeless, crippled, penniless, $500,000 in debt. My life's destroyed for 7 years. I lived in abject poverty. Hell, I was eating eggshells for 2 years. Because I had no money for food or supplements. 2 years to have enough calcium going into my body to heal all these broken bones. Who the hell would ever think? I never imagined in my whole life I would have to eat eggshells for 2 years just to get calcium. You don't know what's going to happen to you. Just like that day I was face down on that road, right? Nobody sees shit like that coming until it happens. Waking up in that trauma center in North Jersey, completely destroyed and paralyzed, right? Never planned for any of that. How do you think I ended up homeless, crippled, and penniless 8 months later, right? You don't know when this stuff's, if it's going to happen to you or ever. I'm just telling you, I know what it's like. I climbed from the grave in every single way, shape, and form that you could imagine. Climbed out of that grave. And because of circumstances that went on right after that, I ended up homeless. Nowhere to live, no money, company's gone, in debt, $500,000. Because somebody cut off my health insurance out of spite. I didn't know that shit was going to happen. Boy, it did. And I paid a hell of a price. 7 years of abject poverty. So I'm saying this because, folks, if you can't see the writing on the wall right now, you got criminals in DC who are destroying the country in a systematic, designed implosion of the US economy, right? And then they just stole elections again. What more do you need to know? Where do you think we're headed, right? If people don't see this, Kirk, I don't know what to say. I'm probably a little frustrated by a conversation I had before talking to you. That's kind of what's triggered me today. It's like, look, this is the last and final warning. Get your house in order because this is coming. If they haven't shown us they've been destroying, this is a controlled demolition of the United States economy by the Khazarian mobsters because they're trying to shift the axis of wealth and power to Asia, which is what they've been doing since the criminal Nazi child-killing drug runner George H.W. Bush, leader of the Fourth Reich, that took out Kennedy and attempted to assassinate Reagan, George H.W. Bush, right? Since that time, offloading our industries overseas for decades, our economic, we can't get parts for jets and airplanes and all kinds of stuff because they pushed it all overseas. Why? They're recentering the power structure so the axis spins in Asia, right? Now they're demolishing the U.S. economy on purpose. And they stole an election to say, we're not done yet. You're going to leave the same criminals in here. They're going to destroy it. So anyways, the big banks that are part of it, what do they know? They know everything. Why have they been buying a shit ton of silver and gold? Why? Because they know that's their only salvation to stay alive and breathe and eat and not, you know, be living face down in the dirt when this whole thing happens. Anyways, I really had a whole lot to say there that probably didn't really say much of anything different.
Well, what you said spoke a lot though, because there's problems, right? There's unrest, there's uncertainty. It's like everything that's right is considered wrong and everything that's wrong is considered right. It's like it's a bizarro world, right? And so this is where we need to sift through the madness. We need to identify trends that are going up because that will put a smile on our face and we can allocate into them. We need to identify the ones that are going down and simply just get out of them, right? It's like, it's simple when you analyze it down to the root causes and the core of what's going on. And, you know, it's just like if there's danger, you get out of the path of danger, right? I mean, it's just human instinct. So the markets are at a danger position right now. They really are. When you've got rising taxes, rising interest rates, rising inflation, people not working, people not spending, you know, companies, you know, laying off by the tens of thousands. This is a signal. It's like a precursor of what's to come. It's a great leading indicator that we just need to identify and get out of the path of that hurricane. And seriously, bro, we can still have a smile on our face. We can, when you allocate properly. You know, there's a lot to frown about. There is. But I don't want to focus on it. I want to focus on what we can actually win with a singular voice, right? Regaining a lot of our lost freedoms, our political freedoms, economic freedoms, personal freedoms, health freedoms, religious freedoms, right? It does take a collective voice, waking up, being loud. Hopefully politicians will hear it and then make change, right? However, finances is not collective voice. It's one. It's you. It's me. Well, just deciding what we're going to do, right? And that's what we can do. And that's the one thing we do have control over is ourselves. And we just make that decision, get out of harm's way, not complain. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier today and we were talking about President Trump. And personally, he never complained about anything. He was a winner, right? He saw a challenge and you just say, okay, well, I'm just going to win. I'm just going to keep pushing. I'm going to get it done. Wouldn't complain. See, a lot of times we get so stuck in the muck that all we want to do is complain and not actually do anything. Well, that's fear paralyzing you to inaction. That's not what we're about. We were created to thrive, right? So I would encourage everybody watching this, after everything that Scott just said, after everything that I just said, there's problems in this world. There's problems economically. There's problems politically. There's problems geopolitically. All of those are triggers to either cause some investments to go up and some to go down. The ones that are going up, gold and silver, get into them. The ones that are going down, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, get out. Doesn't mean that they're going to be bad forever. Just means that they're going to be bad for a while, right? Because ultimately things change. Nothing goes up forever. Nothing goes down forever. Our goal is to be wise stewards of what we've been given, allocate accordingly in this transitionary economy that we have, and that's how we're going to thrive. That's how we're going to thrive.
Well, best thing to do, folks, do what I did. I called. You'll see here in the bottom, the number right now says 720-605-3900. You want to fast track call right to Dr. Kirk out there at Denver, Colorado. Give him a call, get a consult. I'll spend time with you, explain it all. And if it makes sense for you, then make a move. If it doesn't, you know, there might be other options, but have the conversation. If you want to do a little research, you can go to psfsilvergold.com. That's pretty simple to remember, PSF or Patriot Street Fighter. PSFsilvergold.com. You read a little bit. You want them to, you know, put your, if you want to put your information in, then it goes right to their database, pops up, and then they reach out and connect with you. So either way, you know, if you feel like having a consult, either way, give me a shout. If you're a little nervous, if you're a little afraid, just have a conversation. You'll know if it's the move you should make for you because you'll feel it in your gut. You'll let your sixth sense tell you what to do. If you got a knot in your stomach and I'm not really sure, don't do anything. Start listening to your sixth sense. That's what they strip from us, a pineal gland, that ability to be intuitive and know, like automatically, yes, this is good. Not by what I think, by what I feel. And I do a lot of many things I do in my life now. I don't overthink because I'm very cerebral. I'm very left-brained, logic. I got two emails, logic and reason, you know, whatever number they are. But because that's to me how I, you know, how I built my basically my mental construct on the intellectual cerebral type and making decisions. And that's all great. Most decisions I make today, what do I feel about this? I'm letting the universe tell me what to do. So if you have that knot in your stomach, don't do anything, but at least get some information so you can make it at least have an informed decision. Like I said, I don't recommend what I don't do. I've put as much money as mine as I can into silver, and that's where I'm anchored. So anyways, Dr. Kirk, always a pleasure to see you, my friend. I guess we circle in the back or in around 1 week. Let's see what Donald Trump says on his announcement tonight. I saw Truth Social, a Truth, whatever they call it. It's not a tweet, it's a Truth Trump. I must have put out there and said, tonight's announcement will be one of the most important announcements in the history of our country. Let's see what that's all about. Whatever it is, ain't going to change my strategy. Writing's on the wall. It's coming down. So anyways, much love to you, brother. Thanks for being here again tonight.
Thanks. See ya.
Patriot Street Fighter out.